You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Back to The Wire. The government has been considering a ban on homeless people rough sleeping in Auckland Central after dark. Spokespeople from homelessness and poverty action groups have criticised the proposal for not effectively addressing the root causes of the crisis. I spoke to Aaron Hendry from the youth homelessness organisation Kickback Make Change about the consideration and its potential consequences. How does the government's proposal to ban rough sleeping in the CBD affect homeless people?
Yeah, look, we're really concerned about the government's proposal to I guess, introduce move-on orders that will essentially ban rough sleeping in Auckland city centre. We know that a lot of whānau, a lot of young people, they come to the city centre because there's a measure of safety in community and visibility. And by pushing some of our most vulnerable people within our society out further into the suburbs, further into the dark alleys and into spaces where they're not seen and they don't have that safety and community, there's real danger here that people will be significantly harmed. They'll be put in situations where they will risk, you know, further abuse, exploitation and harm. And we're thinking about tamariki and rangatahi, the risk only increases. So look, we're really concerned about this, and we think that actually, like, it needs to be binned. We need to bin the ban, and we need to actually do what we know works. We know that our young people, our whānau, we know that people are sleeping on the streets because they don't have a safe place to live. We have a solution to rough sleeping already. It's housing. It's providing people with, you know, safe, supported accommodation and the wraparound support they need to heal and to stabilise.
And do you think that the government have any other plans to deal with homelessness? If not, how would your organisation address that?
Yeah, look, I think we need to first be really clear around the origins of the crisis we're experiencing right now. So, you know, if we think about homelessness from a broader view, you know, that the origins of homelessness in Aotearoa, it's colonisation, it's capitalism, right? It is, you know, we can trace for a lot of our whānau, a whakapapa of land loss and exploitation, and that goes back through the generations. In terms of kind of, you know, capitalism, we look at the housing market right now and the way that housing is kind of created into a commodity rather than a basic human need. And that's kind of underlying all the issues that we're facing. But very specifically, since this government came in, they have made some really specific decisions that have impacted on people's lives and have meant that more of our people, more of our whānau, more of our friends are sleeping outside because they don't have a safe place to live. You know, so some of those policy decisions, you know, we've talked a lot about the emergency housing policy where the government made a real clear decision to make it harder to access emergency housing, which meant that if you have nowhere to go, you go into work and income, and instead of getting that support, you know, many people are reporting being denied that support and going straight back outside and sleeping out there. They've made decisions to stall and cancel public housing build projects, which would have ensured that we had, you know, good, stable public housing for people to live in. They've made decisions to gut millions of dollars out of services that would have provided housing services for young people experiencing homelessness. Without those services existing, more young people are vulnerable to homelessness. And so there's been some real clear decisions this government has made which has escalated this crisis. And now the government has turned around. Rather than actually recognising, hey, we've made some mistakes here, we've done something wrong, we need to actually respond to the needs of our people, they're now proposing to criminalise people for being outside because they have nowhere else to go. And something that's really concerning in the public conversation for us right now, from our political leaders, is I guess this kind of them and us that has been created between those who are unhoused and those who are housed. You know, there's some corridor from the Prime Minister recently where he spoke about Auckland as needing to feel safe, and we need to help the homeless people too. Look, the homeless people are us. They're part of our community. They are Aucklanders. They are Aucklanders that cannot access housing because the government has not prioritised housing as a basic human need. And we need to ensure, first, that homelessness is recognised, housing is recognised as a basic human need, and provide that support. In terms of, like, tangible solutions that we have, there's already models existing around immediate housing services, right? You know, Kahui Te Kaia service out south does an amazing youth development program that supports young people straight from the street, straight into shelter, and then provides them a wraparound support into long-term housing. Kickback works with Massey Community Trust. We provide a service called the Safety Net, which is an immediate housing service as well. Young person can turn up at our hub here in K Road and get instant access to, you know, into a whānau who have a safe room available to them, who will host them for a short period of time while they try to make a plan around around their long-term housing. The other thing the government can be doing, alongside investing in immediate housing services and scaling those across the country, because we just do not have enough of those out in the community currently, is ensure that we have, you know, really centralized, you know, hubs or, you know, systems where people can get instant access to the different supports they need. So again, another example of that, the front door, the kickback runs, it's our outreach crisis early intervention centre. Young people can turn up here, you know, get support immediately for, you know, kai, clothing, access to mental health service, access to healthcare services, and a community that's going to advocate for them and support them to navigate the housing system so they can get into shelter as swiftly as possible. And so, you know, there's already these models. You know, Auckland City Mission does that for our adult whānau as well. There are a range of these services that already exist that the government can be investing in and enable us to do more for our whānau, because actually our limitations right now are around capacity. They are around resources. And there has not been, I guess, enough investment in these forms of services to ensure we have a robust kind of social infrastructure to support people when they are in need of that support. And so, look, there are those real clear decisions the government can make around rerouting funding and rerouting resources to actually respond to the needs of our people, but they have to make that decision. If they go ahead with the rough sleeping ban and the move on orders, they will be making a decision to invest their resources into criminalising people who are unhoused. And that will be, there'll be costs for that in the police time, there'll be costs for that in incarcerating people, there'll be costs for that in the court. So it's really going to be a decision for us as a collective to make. Do we value actually caring for one another and ensuring that each of us gets the support we need to live well and to be safe and to be housed? Or would we prefer to punish people and punch down on people who are going through some of the hardest stuff that any of us would ever have to go to at no fault of one of the mythologies exists is that, you know, people who are unhoused are causing all the crime in the city centre, and that's just not true. You know, if you speak to the police themselves, they recognise that actually a lot of the harm that happens in the city centre is people coming in, not necessarily those who are living there. There is a need with some of those who are unhoused who have really significant mental health, disability supports and services, and the solution for that is housing. People who are unhoused are living on Queen Street, they're living on Kew Road, that's their living room. That's all they have. The myth is that people who are unhoused don't want to live in safe, stable housing or support and community, right? So we provide that, we provide support, we provide care, we provide awhi, we ensure that we're resourcing those outreach services to go out and provide the support people need, and you will start to resolve some of those challenges. That's going to be a decision for the government, again, to make. We can pivot our resources into actually proactive solutions. Rather than using police, we could be supporting to build up our mental health and our, you know, addiction services to ensure that, you know, we have those outreach workers going out into the city centre, building genuine relationships. But then we also need to have somewhere for people to go back to. Our experience is when we connect with a rangatahi or whānau who are sleeping on the street, that, yeah, they genuinely do want somewhere safe to live. They just don't have access to that. So unless the government is also going to be investing in that social infrastructure around housing and immediate housing, immediate access to safe shelter, then you're still going to have that need. Another wider piece of the context that, you know, it's really important for people to understand is that there is a group of people that spend a lot of time hanging out in the city centre who are living in conditions that are actually really deplorable. As a result of the housing crisis and the inequality we've allowed to persist in the society, there is a range of lodges and hostels where some of our most vulnerable people, most people who are significantly unwell, are being forced to live in. Those spaces aren't safe. You can't really hang out there during the day. It's not really a good space to be, so they end up hanging out on the street because that's the only place there is for them.
Whilst homeless people are a very vulnerable demographic, there's some other vulnerable demographics, such as young women who would feel unsafe walking alone in the CBD, because it's a very real fear and it totally does happen for young women to get harassed or assaulted by homeless people. So how can we ensure that while we're ensuring that we're not kicking homeless people off the streets, still protecting them, how can we also make sure we're protecting the safety of these potential victims?
In terms of solutions for that, it is again housing. It's ensuring that we're actually funding and resourcing immediate housing services that provide the right level of wraparound support that meets people's needs and provides them with the healthcare they also require. And it's also investing in, you know, these third spaces, places like the front door or ACM or others where communities can actually congregate and grow. Because the city centre is not just about the business community, and that's really important. But actually, there's a whole community of people that are living there, that are living here, and this is part of their community as well. So how do we create spaces for people to live and also thrive together?
That was Aaron Hendry from Kickback Make Change on the government considering a ban on rough sleeping.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.